This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A recent report from Bankrate.com finds millennials are not embracing credit cards the way their parents or older siblings have. 63% of millennials do not have a credit card. Detroit News personal finance columnist Brian O'Connor is with us. Brian, just why aren't the 18 to 29-year-olds seeking out credit cards?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors involved in this. And the first one could very well be that they can't get them. Between the debt load that a lot of these folks have from college loans and stricter credit card rules that are designed to keep a lot of college kids from getting a credit card when they don't have a way to pay it, that's probably restricting a lot of applications for credit cards right there. This is one of the things that personal finance experts really hate it, and that was that credit card companies would sign up with colleges, you know, at tables on campuses, signing kids up with a credit card, you know, with a promotional T-shirt or a Frisbee on the first day of the classes, and they didn't really care whether the kids could pay their bills. They didn't even care if they were still minors in some cases. They'd give a card to a 17-year-old freshman knowing that their parents would bail them out.
And I'll give you a story right now. This is exactly what jumped in my mind when I knew we were going to have this conversation. From the 90s, a close friend, they bought a Michigan Education Trust so their son could graduate from college debt-free, but he signed up for more than one credit card on his campus and got the credit card and the Frisbee and the T-shirt, racked up a shocking credit card balance. So they had to bail him out of that when he graduated. He was not debt-free. So, you know, you see that, and as a parent, you think, well, then I don't want my child to have a credit card.
Right. And the bigger problem with that was two things, was the fact that the kid didn't have a way to pay. He didn't have any income of his own. And the assumption was, even when it's not legal to give, you know, it's not legal to enforce the debt if the kid was 17 years old when he signed up for the card, parents didn't want their children trying to find jobs and rent apartments with these, you know, terrible credit histories that would result. And even worse was that the colleges were often getting, if it was a college-branded card, the college was getting a kickback on it.
Yeah.
You know, so you'd go to, you know, the University of Southwest Northeast, you know,
sure,
Virginia Technical Institute, and it'd have the Fighting Wombats on it, and they were getting money. So the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, which a whole bunch of people hate for all the wrong reasons, this is one of the things that they've cracked down on. So that's one thing. So it's harder for kids to get credit cards. It's harder for them to qualify because they probably don't have jobs, so there's no income, no card. They have a whole bunch of debt, so they have a really bad debt situation. And another thing is that a lot of millennials really don't want to use credit, maybe because they do have all those college loans that they're paying off, maybe because they don't have a steady income. But I think it's also partly because there's just been that kind of generational shift since the Great Recession, where a lot of them are using debit cards, so they have access, you know, to a bank and to the nation's financial system, and they're just choosing, you know, not to use credit at this point, which you can't really fault them for.
You can't, but then I know, back to friends again, another friend's son had no credit card through school, no debt, but then he tried to buy a house, and he couldn't do a single thing without getting mom and dad on board. So it seems to me there's probably a balance that needs to be struck with young people and credit.
Right. You put your finger on the one downside to all this kind of pay-as-you-go strategy, which is that you're not going to develop any credit history if you've never had any credit. One of the ways around that, and I can remember when I graduated college, basically everybody got an American Express, you know, application in their mailbox. So there was that attempt to sign people up many years ago. One way around that is that parents can add their children to their card as an authorized signer, which means the credit will be reported in the kid's name. Now, it's different than just getting a second card, you know, for little Junior and Missy.
Okay.
You have to sort of add them to the account. But as an authorized signer, they can't really go in and change it. They can't go ask for a credit limit increase or something like that. That gets some credit history, and that also means that you'll be able to go online and see, or look at your statement and see, if they are running amok You know, off in East Lansing or Ann Arbor or something like that.
So you can watch what they're doing. Card. But as an authorized signer, then they are building a track record.
They are getting some credit, too. And, of course, there's all the old credit standbys of, you know, get a gas station credit card, buy something on time payments at a local merchant. Those are ways that get some credit built up, although it's going to be, you know, a slower road with that kind of thing. But these are all strategies that you can start using if you're going to be responsible. If you are going to add a kid as an authorized signer and say, this card is just for emergencies or this card is just for textbooks, you know, make that clear. And the fact that an emergency doesn't involve anything you know, eat, drink, or wear.
As a matter of fact, one I remember with my friend and her son and his credit cards were all the McDonald's charges that he had racked up over time. So bottom line is the fact that 63% of millennials do not have credit cards, is that a good for them or an uh-oh story?
I think it's a little bit of both. In a lot of cases, it's not even just, it's an uh-oh, but it's an uh-oh for us in the case of, you know, kids who are staggering under these ridiculous student debt loads with toxic debt that you can't get out of, even in bankruptcy. And that really needs to be addressed. We see that they're not buying cars because they have too much debt. They're not getting married because they have too much debt. They're not forming households. Doesn't matter if they can't get a mortgage because they have no credit history. They're not going to buy a house and get married anyway. And so that's the downside of it. The upside is that many of them are doing it because they do want to be responsible, and they need to learn that, you know, the downside to that is a simple thing to do, is to just start getting engaged responsibly, you know, with credit so that you can build that credit history. The other thing is that a lot of times, especially to work in a financial services industry or a lot of employers or to rent an apartment, you need a credit history. Another piece of good news is that there are several alternative credit scores that are being developed that will be more friendly to people with limited credit histories, so that it will start to track things like utility payments and rent payments, which normally aren't part of your credit history. If you're paying your electric bill and your phone bill on time in your campus apartment, that usually doesn't count towards your credit report, but there are some alternate credit scores that have been developed that will track that. They aren't widely used at this point, but I think at some point the credit industry is gonna wise up and say, you know, these kids are out there. When they do get jobs, we want to start building that relationship with them, and so we're going to start considering these sort of alternative credit scores that will capture, you know, their more accurate payment history.
Brian O'Connor is a Detroit News personal finance columnist. Always good to talk with you, Brian. Thanks so much.
It's always a pleasure.